racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, we said it before, but now the 2018-2019 individual tournament season is officially over, not only here in the United States, but the European Tour. Hi, and welcome into the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, a new face of golf. And Jay, I think this is a great opportunity for us to wish each and every one of our Grow Room listeners a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And Jay, I want to start with, you know, you and I have been doing this together for a long time, and both of us appreciate the sport of golf. But over the last 2 weeks, what we were able to witness is just mind-boggling. I mean, the winners, the caliber of the winners. I mean, from Kuchar to Danny Willett to Lexi Thompson to Lee Westwood. I mean, Molinari winning. I mean, as I said, we take a lot of pride in the sport of golf, and we certainly got a heck of a message over the last two weeks with the, quality of the winners.
Well, and I think we get reminded it's not just about the young guys, because a lot of times, Bob, these young guys are so impressive, and we talk about the difference now with getting a little experience on the web.com tour, all the junior golf, the tigerization, the fact that these guys are ready to win. And we saw that early in the season. We saw it with Kevin Tway getting his first victory. We saw it, obviously, with Cameron Champ, this budding young superstar. But we're reminded the last couple of weeks with Kuchar, Westwood, and the situation over the weekend with the CH3 and Danny Willett, a guy who'd really been kind of lost. It's a great time for the game. You know, it's a great mixture of players.
It really is. And I like telling the story about Charles Howe. Grew up in Augusta, Georgia, father, a renowned surgeon there, knew that he had somewhat of a prodigy when Charles was about 10 years old. His dad made a call down to the David Ledbetter camp and wanted David to take a look at Charles Howe to get his opinion. So they go down there and they have an appointment. And it's not David Ledbetter that comes out, but one of David's assistants. And Charles's father said, we actually had an appointment with Mr. Ledbetter. And the assistant very politely tells him, well, look, it doesn't work that way. I've been assigned to look at your son and, give my evaluation to David Ledbetter. So he told Charles to loosen up. He did. And then finally, Charles hits about three drives. The assistant says, don't move. I'm going to go get David Ledbetter.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, this was a young man that had a world of talent, dominated the junior level. Dominated at the collegiate level, won the United States Amateur, and there was a lot of promise. And, it's hard to believe that it's only his third victory. Now, I say that, and I want everybody to listen to this number. He went over $36 million in career earnings. So while he may not have had the victories that were expected of him, he's been a fairly consistent part of the tour for a long time.
No, he really has, Jay, and you bring up a great point. When he came out of Oklahoma State, there were some people even going so far as to say, hey, this is the next Tiger Woods. That's the reputation that he had coming out. And by his own admission, he hasn't won. But there's two things that he has done, and I'm proud to report that maybe it's even better than winning. He continued to work as hard as he possibly could, never put his head down, and number two, continued to be the nice guy that he was growing up in Augusta, Georgia, now a married man, 39 years old, with two children. I mean, you're not going to find a better individual on the PGA Tour than Charles Howell III. And guess how excited he has to be. He's going back to play in the Masters next year. Jay. He hasn't played there since 2012. And I was thinking, boy, how hard has it been on him to be one of the premier players in the game? And the Masters is being held in your hometown and you're not eligible to play. I think maybe that's the biggest prize that he won over the weekend.
Yeah, I think it was 2011. I think they referenced it on the broadcast because it was, you know, it is such a significant thing, as you talked about. I saw a picture of him as like a nine-year-old with Ben Crenshaw's dad at the Masters, like in 1979 or 80 or something, or maybe even a couple of years later. So a lot of history, a lot of family there. You know, that's what a guy like him thinks about as he's, you know, approaching a victory, is what comes with it. And, you know, that 2-year exemption obviously is huge. And going to Augusta for Charles Howell III, that's awesome.
Come on, Jay. You were a good stick in your date. Talk what it must have felt like to Charles Howell. Sunday morning, he knows everything's on the line. He's played great for 3 days. He starts coming out of the box, bogey, double bogey, 3 over after 2 holes, and yet does not put his head down.
Yeah, you got to be thinking at that point, I mean, am I snake bit? But he persevered through it. And he also, in a sense, persevered through the playoff because he had opportunities. I think he had 3 in a row to close out the tournament. And that's, you know, that's unique when you've got that opportunity. Justin Leonard talked about that on the broadcast, that, you know, what a unique opportunity it is just to have a chance to win a PGA Tour event and then to get it done and get the victory and do it at a place like Sea Island that he knows. Good stuff from Charles Howell III. And, you know, maybe it propels him to something a little more. Maybe the next couple of years we see Charles Howell III start to fulfill some of the promise that was expected of him out of Oak State.
Good point there. Maybe there is a major on the horizon for Charles Howell III. Certainly has enough talent to get that job done. You know, one name we didn't mention at the top of the show, and I feel bad about it because adding to the list of great people that have won in this sport over the last 2 weeks, Lexi Thompson. She takes a month off, Jay, comes back, wins a big event down in Florida. I mean, just a little more icing on that cake. What a great time for golf. So now let's give a listen to Charles Howell III on his thoughts on that victory.
Man, I don't even know what to say. It's the way I started today, bogey double the first 2 holes, and I just honestly thought I'd shot myself in the foot again. And you know, then I was, you know, somehow able to, you know, sort of settle the round down a little bit from there. But you know, I thought that was pretty much over, and being that, you know, how many birdie holes, et cetera, the guys that were, you know, chasing. So I thought it was then to, okay, well, let's just have a really nice rest of the day and just see what happens here. But if you'd asked me after that second hole, would I be sitting here right now? The answer would be overwhelmingly no.
You know, you can just hear how nice he is when you listen to his voice, Jay.
Well, and I appreciate the honesty. I mean, that you know, he's being dead serious with you. When he goes bogey double, he's not thinking about the trophy. I mean, his whole mindset had changed. But he played through it. He took the approach of, we're going to finish out the round and we're going to see what happens. And, you know, after a couple playoff holes, they tapped him on the shoulder and said, here's the trophy, son. I'm very impressed. You got a lot of guys. You got Patrick Rogers, who's trying to fulfill the promise that was expected of him with all those victories he had at Stanford. So, you know, you had a little taste of the young and a taste of the old, and the old got it this time. And I say old, I should say veteran, as it relates to Charles Howell III. And, you know, this has been a long time coming, and it gets frustrating for guys. I mean, we see a lot of guys, Bob, that get to the point where they feel like they can't win anymore, and they do something else or start prepping for the Champions Tour down the road.
Well, I'm about to say probably the silliest thing I've ever said on any one of these shows in the Grow Room. We're going to listen now to Charles Howell talk about his comeback because he's only made just less than $40 million playing golf. If this is a comeback, it's a comeback that I've never heard of, but here's Charles talking about it.
You know, golf is a brutal game, and the highs of the high, it comes with a lot of really lows. And, you know, you work and you practice and you prepare and you think you're doing all the right things, and the results don't quite show that. And so then you start to question everything, really. And, you know, just it's a wonderful lesson to be learned that if you truly believe in what you're doing, to stay the course, that and if no one else proves it but me today, then it does prove it, that you know, it's been 11 years since I've won a golf tournament, and quite honestly, I didn't know if I would ever win one again, for the obvious reasons that I had come up short so many times, and the fact of how the game is changing. I just spent 36 holes with Cameron Champ, who hits a 3-iron 290 yards off most every tee, and you know, get your attention that how golf's changing. And, you know, every time one of these guys comes out like that, there seems another and another and another. So, yeah, the fact I'm sitting here with this trophy is it's still a bit of a dream.
Well done, Mr. Howe. I mean, you are fantastic. You're fantastic for the game and the Grow Room. We're certainly proud of him, Jay.
No doubt about it. And as I said, Bob, maybe we'll see. You know, as he said, you know, that's an eye-opening experience when you see this Cameron Champ hitting his driving iron 290 yards. I mean, it, you know, you then are going to start to wonder, am I going to get this opportunity again? But I think this may boost Charles for the next couple of years. We may see some really good golf out of him.
Yeah, and one other thing on Cameron Champ, he hits his 7-iron as far as Ben Hogan used to hit his 3-wood. Let's jump over the pond because it was a feel-good victory over there, and I'm happy for Danny Willett. You know, he wins the Masters in 2016, really hasn't done anything since then, and you know as well as I do, J-Man, that, you know, you win a big event like that, the expectations get high on you, and really hadn't done anything to validate that victory. But this win over the weekend certainly tells us everything we have to know, that the 2016 Masters green jacket was no fluke.
Been 953 days between victories for him, and that's a long time, especially when you think about a major championship and the expectations, as you said, and guys handle them differently. And you know, he's got a young family. It's a life-changing experience. Especially for an international player, I think, when you win a major championship like he did at the Masters, and it didn't look necessarily going into that final day like he was going to win the Masters. So it all was a really storm that he dealt with, and congratulations on getting back in one of the premier events on the European Tour, their finale.
Yeah, and one guy that deserves a lot of credit, a good friend of the Grill Room, none other than Sean Foley, back on the scene. He started working with Danny Willett, and the results speak for themselves. Here's what Willett had to say.
Yeah, it's been a tricky old road. So, with all the ups and downs and injuries and this and that. Like I said, the body's feeling a lot better, and swings and moves are good and everything's good. But you know, there were times you're never quite sure if you're going to be able to do it again. And, pretty special.
You know what amazes me, Jay, is Danny Willett, Masters champion, wins this past weekend, and he wasn't even good enough to be on the European Ryder Cup team, and they won going away. Pretty impressive. One other guy certainly has impressed you, Jay, has impressed me with his work all year, and that's the one and only the Italian that's riding the crest of a very high wave, but also a very nice guy, Francisco Molinari, on his victory.
Yeah, just very happy and very proud. Obviously, it's been an incredible year, an incredible season. I've achieved all I could ask for and even more. You know, obviously, you look at the names on the Race to Dubai trophy and the other merit before that, and it's only the top guys that have done it. And, you know, you put a major on top of that, and it's just a dream season. So I'm really happy to be here. I honestly probably never thought it was going to happen. You know, you can win tournaments, but to win a season-long race is much harder. And with the amount of great players we have on tour right now, it's really incredible. But, you know, it's obviously come from a lot of work last winter and the years before. And I need to relax for a while now and then start again from scratch.
Well, you should relax, Mr. Molinari. You put together an incredible year. You won a major, you went 5-0 in the Ryder Cup, and you win the Race to Dubai. Looking at that finish, Jay, who finished second? None other than Patrick Reed. And ironically enough, he says he wants to win the Race to Dubai in 2019. What do you make of that?
Well, I was just thinking, as we heard Francesco Molinari talk about winning the Race to Dubai and what a season-long race meant to him, I just wonder, you know, in 50 or 75 years, what the perception's going to be of these season-long races, where we've all become so trained, Bob, as we know, on the four major championships. What will the value of these be? Will it just be about the money? Will there be significance? And it's interesting to see a guy like Patrick Reed say, you know, I play in enough events where I can garner points for the Race to Dubai that I'd like to win it. You know, I found it interesting, but it's something that's on his radar.
Well, he's not just saying it, Jay. The new European season already underway this week. They're kicking off in Hong Kong. Who's in the field? None other than Patrick Reed.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. When we come back, we'll take a look at what's coming up down in Melbourne, Australia. Keep it tuned to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. He's Jay, I'm Bob. Thanks for listening to a couple of turkeys talking golf on Thanksgiving week. Well, it's another week of golf down below in Australia. It's being contested at the Metropolitan Golf Club in Australia. I'm going to share, Jay, a little story. Years ago, the President's Cup was going to be down in Australia. We reached out to some friends to see if they had anybody that may have had a house that they would like to rent a bedroom too. And we made contact. We landed in Melbourne. We start driving, you know, with the directions we were provided. We end up in this neighborhood, a rather ritzy neighborhood. And I'm saying, Janice, maybe we're making a mistake here. And she said, no, this is what they said. And we come upon this place, magnificent place, knock on the door. Sure enough, it's the people that are going to be hosting us. They said, can we take you up to your room? We say, yes. We get up there. And I look out the window and I said, what golf course is that? She said, that's Metropolitan. That's where they're going to be holding the President's Cup. We were across the street. We could walk to the golf tournament. How's that for accommodation?
You guys know what you're doing, that's for sure. And it's the World Cup of Golf, an event that, you know, let's be honest, has lost a little bit of the luster that it once had, but they still got a number of guys, good players. Kucherov, his victory recently on the PGA Tour, playing with Kyle Stanley as his partner. And I want to take a moment, and, you know, we had the race for Dubai. We had the finale on the PGA Tour for the end of the year. I'm a little disappointed that the Australian Open was last week. You know, that's a significant event. And you know, it was a little lost in the shuffle. And for the first time, a Mexican, Abraham Anser, won the Australian Open. He'll play with the fellow countryman from Mexico, Roberto Diaz. And we should mention Tyrrell Hatton and Ian Poulter will represent the England.
Yeah, pretty interesting pairing, I'd say, Jay, with Hatton and Poulter, the new rising superstar for England in Hatton, and the tried and true Ryder Cup veteran, Ryder Cup hero, I should say, and Ian Poulter. He didn't show any signs of slowing down. I'm looking forward, actually, to see what they do down there. You got to keep an eye on Paul Dunn from Ireland, along with Shane Lowry. I think that's a pretty tough team.
Well, and also, you know, we'll see the defending champions are the Danes, Thorberg, Olesen, and Soren Yeltsin. But the boys playing in their home country are Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith on their own turf. So it'll be a fun event and, you know, something to do over the weekend, overnight.
Yeah, time now to let's talk about the LPGA schedule. They just had their big event, the CME Globe. It quite a race.
I guess it was. I mean, I don't follow this tour nearly as much as I probably should. It just, again, as I said, you had, to me, two events bigger, really three events in the Australian Open, and this would have been fourth on my plate. But, you know, Ari Jutan-Yagarn won the year-long race to the CMB Globe, but Lexi Thompson got back into the winner's circle, Bob, as you mentioned earlier in the show. She took a month off. She got herself re-energized, and how much she still loved this game and her passion to win, and it was her first win of the season.
Yeah, and it made extra special, Jay, having a brother on the bag. I mean, if you're an LPGA player and you win, I mean, it's a huge deal. There's no doubt about that. But when you're able to accomplish something that great and share it with your brother on the bag, I just think that was very special. And I think Lexi Thompson is somebody that's very special.
No doubt about it. She's great for the tour. I think that I saw more stuff on Twitter and Facebook from people I follow that like the game of golf on the LPGA than I had in a long time. So good for her. And Bob, one thing that I think is interesting, because we've kind of talked about it, how the PGA Tour has, I'm not going to say embraced the gambling on golf, but they announced that IMG Arena, IMG's leading sports betting service and content hub, will distribute official PGA Tour scoring data for usage and sports betting purposes. Very interesting.
Well, at last year's PGA Championship in your backyard, I had lunch with the head man from ShotLink. And I said to him, I think that your shot line, shot link stats are going to be incorporated into the betting possibilities, and people are going to have to pay for your information. He just looked at me and smiled, wouldn't own up to it, but I saw that little twinkle in his eye to know that I hit a home run with my prediction, because that's exactly what has transpired. And listening to Jay Monahan talking recently about the approval of sports betting basically in the United States, and you predicted it, Jay. You said this is going to sweep the nation. The golf world as we know it, betting-wise, is going to be universal pretty soon. It's been active in Europe for a long, long time. I experience that every year when I go over for the Open Championship. But pretty soon, and I think you're the one that educated me because you're the geek, you're going to be able to bet on your phone in your hand and bet on every putt, every drive, just about every shot that's hit on the PGA Tour. It's going to be a whole brand new world as far as I'm concerned.
A whole new ball game. There is no doubt about it, Bob. It'd be very interesting to see as it transpires the next couple of years. It's going to be fascinating to see how it all ends up. And again, as we've said, this Tiger film match is going to be for the first time, some interesting bets on that are going to be through some of the internet sites. So it's coming. There's no doubt about that. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Group Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We always salute them. The Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, or just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Another short break coming up, and when we come back, we'll hear Bob's conversation with Barney Adams. That's right. Tight Lies, Barney Adams. What a legend. A legendary club maker. He's got a new product on the market. We'll tell you about it when we come back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Joining us now, a legendary name in the world of golf, Barney Adams, and always associated with the leading edge in technology. And Barney, I want to thank you for taking part in this. I know we have a new exciting product to talk about, but I first want to say that more often than not, in any conversations concerning Barney Adams, it always comes up that you're a leading proponent of growing the game. And to me, that's about as high a compliment as anybody in the golf business could ever receive. I know it's a special place in your heart. I don't want to get off topic here, but I want to take advantage of your expertise. Could you isolate, in your opinion, the single biggest obstacle that's in the way of more people playing golf, or is it several fronts that have to be concerned with?
I'm sure there's several, and if you ask, which I have done, you'll get, half a dozen responses, and I only concentrate on the area where you know, it's in my bailiwick, not my bailiwick, but at least something that I've had experience with. And that is, I think, this is going to sound like a weird statement, but I tell people, golf, they try and sell golf as being fun. Golf is not fun. Golf is hard. The fun in golf comes from accomplishing something in a very difficult environment, and that's almost an aphrodisiac. That's so much fun. It's terrific. If you ask any golfer, and I've run this experiment several times, the last round you play, tell me what the best shot you hit was. And without question, they can always remember, whatever it's a putt or an iron shot or a wood shot or whatever it is. It's that sense of accomplishment on the golf course. And I want to see courses set up, not super easy, not ridiculous, but I want to see courses set up to give players the chance to have that enjoyment of you know, a birdie putt or making a birdie or knocking it on in two or whatever it is. But don't make the game any harder than it has to be.
Well, I that's certainly a very enlightening comment. I'll be honest, I have not heard that before, but I agree with it 100%. And now the latest thing in the world of Barney Adams, I looked at the product that you've come up with, and it excited me because I've witnessed changes in golf equipment over the years, from the golf ball to the driver to the shafts of the driver to you know, the faces of irons to everything, but never once any improvement on the putter shaft. And now you have come up with something that I think is, you know, fantastic, and it's called the Stability Putter Shaft. Tell us a little about how the genesis for this came about and some of the benefits that a golfer will obtain by having this shaft in his putter.
Sure. And I will lead off by saying that most people, when I talk to them about this, they kind of roll their eyes and look the other way, to be honest with you. You know, we take putter shafts for granted, but steel putter shafts have been around since, you know, dirt, and it's just something that's there. And I was the same way, quite frankly, until we were looking at some data that we were testing a putting environment. And I'll give you the conclusion, because it took us quite a while to get there. But over the years, putter heads have gotten heavier, and the shafts have stayed the same. And what happens during the stroke is that the motion, when it's applied to the shaft, the head is enough heavier that it causes the shaft to, we call it oscillate, or like a shimmy almost, but just a quiver, just a slight amount of motion. Well, when that happens, the putter head is doing the same thing because it's attached. So the net result is that at the moment of impact, when the putter head strikes the ball, the putter head is never exactly square. It's just a fraction off, or more than a fraction off. Enough, for example, that say you line up got a 15-foot putt, and this is to, you know, win the match, to beat your friend, or whatever it is. It's an important putt, and you feel confident. You just feel good about it, and you line it up, and you know it's a good stroke, and it's a left edge putt, and you miss it to the left. It's entirely possible, if not probable, in that situation that you did everything right and the shaft caused the putt to miss to the left, because the shaft caused the putter head to be slightly to the left at impact, and it was just enough for you to miss the putt, just hanging on the left edge, so to speak. Our shaft, when we learned all of this, we say, well, how are we going to stop that? Well, first off, the shaft itself had to feel the same as a regular putter shaft. You couldn't introduce something that's so drastically different that golfers relate to it, and they have to learn how to use it and so on. In other words, the adjustment to the shaft becomes greater than the problem in the first place, so it isn't worth it. So it had to be something that was felt exactly like their normal steel shaft, and our shaft weighs within 1.2 grams of a steel shaft. And if you look at it, it's a graphite tube, and I won't go into all the detail, but it's a specially prepared graphite tube. Inside, at the point where this oscillation or shimmy might occur, there's a spacer. And that is spacer that spacer absorbs the vibration. The net result is that the putter head always comes back to the ball square. And as a golfer, that's what you want. You know, all that other stuff is fine, but what you really want is the putter head to come back to the ball square. And the you notice it, you know, and listen, I want to be very clear here. You don't go out and make everything. This is golf. This is not, you know, oh my God, if you buy this shaft, you're going to make six more putts per round and blah, 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 that kind of stuff. Absolutely not true. Will you make more putts over the long haul? Absolutely. What you will notice is your distance control is much better because you're getting solid hits all the time. So it's definitely better, but I won't, you know, try and pretend that it's some kind of a miracle thing, because that's not golf. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, you can never buy a golf game in the pro shop. Now, your shaft that you've come up with, this stability shaft, Barney, can I use my existing putter head? Would be the first question that anybody would ask.
Sure, and the answer is absolutely. We don't care what your putter head is. The shaft can fit any putter.
And I understand very reasonably priced, under $200. You can take advantage of the latest technology, and I appreciate your candor by admitting that, no, you're not going to make 6 to 10 more putts per round. But in reality, I don't think there's anybody out there that would not be happy with making one putt more per round.
Yeah, and in our testing, which is been kind of a positive thing. We have about, it varies, but let's say 6 or 7 of the younger players on tour, and they're more willing to try something rather than the established guys. But every single tour player who has putted with a putter, we track their stats against the tour statistics. Every single one of them has putted better without fail. And that's pretty encouraging. But secondly, when we've tested people, amateurs, this is not something for just for pros. Amateurs putt better. Women putt better. And that's good. That's universal.
A pleasure talking with you. You're truly one of the legends in the game. And boy, oh boy, if we can just help some people out to make more putts, it would be a job well done. Barney Adams, thank you for your time.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.